Good morning. I am so happy to be here with you this morning. I have been here many times. And every time that I would be here, your pastor would conveniently be out of town. And he's here today. So I can't take certain liberties. But I have, I think this is my 10th time preaching here, and I love this church. It is a place that feels just like home. And your pastor and I have been good friends for longer than I care to state. But virtually all of our lives, we have been connected in one way or another and still are connected to this day. And I consider it a great honor this morning to be able to share what I feel is a very pertinent word with you. But I still got to take some liberties. And let me tell you, y'all. Here's what I do. I do a daily blog, and it's an inspirational blog. And it's been growing, and it's a part of a series that I call Visions and Victory. And this particular blog is called Be Victorious. And I do it every Sunday morning. So I got to do it this morning. So y'all bear with me right now because I got to prove to the world. Okay, y'all. What's up, champs? I am in Palm Coast, Florida at Palm Coast United Methodist Church. And I am about to preach the word. Now, for those of you who are not in church, you need to go to church right now. Okay? And for those of you who are in Palm Coast, you need to come here right now because Palm Coast United Methodist Church is a great church. Take a look at this, y'all. Y'all wave at them. It's a great church. And the people of Palm Coast said,
amen.
Be victorious, y'all. I had to do that. Because we got to use all means necessary to reach folks today. The Lord gave me this message. Let me just say this. I've been knowing that I'm going to preach here for over a month and a half. And your pastor asked me on that date, what are you going to preach? He doesn't know what he's going to preach next Sunday. But he's trying to pinpoint me. And so I said, raising a standard. Because that has been in my spirit. In times like these, the world is begging and calling for us to raise a standard. The Olympics are about to occur in the next couple of weeks. And Bethune-Cookman has two kids who are in the Olympics this year, you know, and I'm proud of them. But they each had to reach the Olympic standard to get in. They had to meet the mark. Who established that mark? Well, it was the Olympic Committee based on an average number of qualifying times, distances, heights, pounds, whatever the measurement might have been. But what is occurring across the globe now demands that each of us raise a standard. And I'm going to illustrate that to you this morning. You heard the text coming from Exodus. Most of us have heard that in our childhood. But I'm going to give it to you a little differently this morning. And I need some help. So bear with me if I call on a few friends to help me out. Let us pray. Here I am, Lord. Just where you told me to be. About to do what you have anointed me to do. And oh, Father, I'm going to give it all I got. And I pray that you will take these words, O God, that came from you, but through me may change somebody's life. Lord, today I call victory. I proclaim victory over this house. I proclaim healing and power and prosperity over this house. And, oh God, I pray that you will raise up a generation of warriors who will raise your standard. And it begins now as we break the bread of life. In your name we pray. Amen. You heard me. You heard us lift up the text. Very familiar text. Exodus. It actually comes from a story that has been depicted in motion pictures with Charlton Heston playing Moses. So many other folks. I saw a new one recently that was out on HBO. And every time I see this illustration about Moses leading his people, it touches me because I say, oh, God, we need another Moses. Because many of us and many of our friends and our families and countries are in the wilderness. And the signs of miracles are all around. But they cannot recognize them. So let me start here from Exodus 17, 8, and 12 and recite this text and then dive into it. Hear now the word of God. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I'll stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till the sun went down. Now let me set this up for you. These are God's chosen people. They had personally witnessed Moses confront who? Pharaoh, right? And he said time and time again, let my people go. Upon refusal, plagues. The angel of death. And finally, they were liberated from bondage and took off into a journey. And on this journey, they were chased. They wondered about their existence, so much so that many of them said, well, it was better in bondage than enduring this journey to freedom. They were led by a cloud and a pillar. They even witnessed firsthand the parting of the Red Sea when certain death was obvious to each and every one of them. They saw Moses raise the staff. They saw the Red Sea part like this congregation right here. And they all went forth. They saw it close up. And then they kept on. And soon after seeing that, they began to murmur again. They were not satisfied. Out of their fear, they turned on themselves and Moses. What are we going to eat? We're dying of thirst. And so Moses says, all right, I'll take this staff and I'll strike this rock, and water will come forth. Lo and behold, he does it and brings water from the rock. And the people were satisfied for a moment. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So then they come upon the unbeatable foe, the Amalekites, known worldwide as this tribe of marauders who would murder, destroy, smote everybody. And that was a moment when Moses had to draw a line in the sand. How many of us have ever been in those situations where it's time to draw a line in the sand? And so the night before, he says, we got to fight. We got to fight the Amalekites? Yeah, we got to fight. Joshua, tomorrow, you take the men and you go fight. Aaron, Hur, go with me. And so that is how this begins. Now, some of you might feel like Moses. Imagine this. Some of you have encountered and conquered some seemingly unbeatable foes in your lifetime, haven't you? But they seem to come up again and again. And to get to the point this morning, some of us have been attacked already on the way to church this morning. Some of us had a weekend from hell. The Amalekites are in Palm Coast. And so they are there wanting to attack you daily, threaten you, threaten your family, disrupt your normal flow of activities, and ruin your life. Think about it for a moment. You probably can insert a name into each one of those situations. And I don't need you to call them out right now, but I bet you can say, you know, so-and-so, that Amalekite tried to ruin me yesterday. Or maybe some of you are confronting those same types of problems and conflicts on your jobs. Because I know there are no Amalekites in this church. I pray. But nonetheless, Moses had to fight the giant, unbeatable Amalekites who thrived off of attacking and destroying other tribes. Well, today we're going to celebrate this victory and we're going to illustrate this fight. And yes, we're going to make sure that you understand that you have had to overcome some seemingly invincible foes in your lifetime, and there are still yet others to come. Some of them are friends. Some of them are enemies who you know. And then there's this new category called frenemies. Those who are friendly to you while attacking you in the back. They know about your plans because you have communicated with them, innocently telling them what you endeavor to do. And they, these Amalekites, have designed strategies to steal, kill, and destroy. Whatever the case may be, we are here today, and that means that you have already won this round of the battle. You have emerged victorious. And so right now, for those of you who have recognized now that you have overcome some things in your life, let's celebrate. Let's give yourselves a hand. Come on. Let's wake up in here. There you go. Think about it. Think about it. But as you clap, I got to make sure that you understand that there's a much bigger battle looming on the horizon. Bigger than you could ever imagine. And if you read the signs of the times, it requires that you raise a standard. And so that's where we are today, here at Palm Coast United Methodist Church. Indeed, of a standard. You are about to be called into this great battle, this epic battle. And as you journey, each of you in here, towards your destinies, you will face these challenges. Why? Because in this room are game changers. In this room are leaders and legends who have already fought and defeated unbeatable foes. You have done it for your families. In this room are generations of young people who will become doctors, lawyers, preachers, teachers, and they will, in fact, raise the standard. Because the enemy can see your destiny also. And so today, I pray that this word falls in the heart of someone who may need to understand that you might not be the target, but it could be your great, great, great granddaughter who will change this world in ways untold. That's what we are facing right now as we raise the standard. We got to win this fight. We have no choice. We cannot afford to lose. We got to win. Make no mistake about it. You are in for this epic battle. And it's going to be the battle of a lifetime, because there is so much hanging in this balance. Your destiny, your integrity, your legacy. And three things got to happen. They happen for Moses, and they got to happen for you. Moses, facing this battle. Look at the scripture. Verse 8 says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men tomorrow and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Now, Moses had faith in Joshua to select the right men. He had to handpick the warriors for this epic battle. He knew Joshua and he loved him. And they shared the same love of God. There was a connection here. And he trusted him. And there's a moment where we all have that we must call on someone we can trust. As we go through our personal battles, we got to be able to call on somebody that we trust, that we have faith in. Because they have proven time and time again that they can be counted upon. Joshua was that man. And now, as I'm preaching about this, I want you to search your hard drive about who is that person in my life for a time such as this. Moses also knew that he had to have the right tools. The staff. Where's the staff? Here it is. The staff. Y'all, I stole this from your pastor about 4 months ago, right? He brought this from Israel. He bought it because they said this was Moses' staff. Believe me, sir, and I'll give it to you for half price today. Then he looked around and saw a truck full of them just like this. He said, Moses had a lot of staff. Yes, it was the signature line of staffs from Moses. Moses had faith. He knew he had to have the right tools, staff. You see, sometimes the battle is won or lost dependent upon what we fight with. Inferior, unmotivated warriors, technology, the tools, our weapons. Those we go into battle with no firepower or less firepower. So Moses was armed with the right stuff, the staff. Why? He had proven time and time again. He laid it down. Devoured the snake, pointed at the water, part of the Red Sea. Hit the rock, bam, water comes out. So many things have been done with his staff. It represented the power of God. That's what it did. It was a sign for all to see. A constant reminding that God was with them. And many of you here this morning are armed with the right stuff, the word. It also represents the standard, the promise, the power for all the world to see. A constant reminder that God is with you.
Now, let's illustrate this for everybody. I need some help. Give me a Moses. Pastor, select somebody. Give me a Moses. Brad. Got the beard like Moses, too. Brad, how you doing, man? All right. Let's see where I'm going to put you, Brad. Come on right here. Good seeing you. All right, I want you to hold this just for a second, both hands. I'll give you instructions. All right? Now, this is very important, and I hope that this illustration will just open your eyes and your hearts to some things. This staff represented the power of God before the Ten Commandments. Think about it. Trace yourselves way back in the Bible. There was no Bible. Was it? It was actually being written in life. And so this story of Exodus had not been captured in the books yet. But it was being captured in the hearts and minds of the people who witnessed it. And so Moses had to fight, y'all. He knew the importance. He had to go to the top of the hill. And he knew how important it was for his warriors to see the standard. So what I need you to do right now is this. If God told you, you got to hold this thing up high for all the world to see. Because if it falls, our people will die. Hold it up. Use both hands. Stay like that. That staff, lock your elbows. Lock them. God told you now, if this thing falls down, the Bible said, didn't it? When his hands came down, the Amalekites were winning. Do y'all know what that meant? That meant when they came down, his people were dying. They were being smoted. Do y'all know what smoting means? They were being killed. Okay, I need y'all. Whenever those hands, stay right there, stay right there. If those hands start falling down, I just need this family to just fall over. Okay? All right? I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Y'all with me? I really got to illustrate this to you. Lock those elbows. Okay? Lock them. All right, now I got to preach. So while that's happening, if they fall, if I see y'all fall, that means, okay? All right. Now, are you ready? Because this battle depends upon you. That's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? This battle depends upon you. Because you got to raise the standard. You got to hold it up. So the first thing he did was Moses chose the right people to fight. Then the second thing he did, he had to choose the right place to fight. So he selected the top of the hill. Why? And it says this. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. You see, the top of the hill was where Moses could strategically direct the battle. It was also the highest place and the place he felt closest to God. But also, he needed to be connected to his source because he knew that this battle was epic. Some of life's battles are not skirmishes, y'all. They're not little quick fights. They are wars. All right, you see? So many times we fight with the same routine, limited in our strength and our endurance, because we are convinced that we are all alone on the battlefield. But Moses knew better. This was a seminal moment in the life of his people. So he elevated himself to the highest position so that his warriors, in the midst of battling down here, ducking swords, could look up and always see the standard. That's what they strive for. He elevated himself so that his warriors could look up to him for inspiration. He elevated himself so that his enemies could see that, man, we're still fighting hard and this standard is still up here. It hasn't moved. But it's so hard. It's so hard holding up the standard for you and your family and others is a grueling and sometimes it's a lonely task, isn't it? You didn't know that you were going to be doing this when you came here this morning, did you? And that's the point I want to make to you, that you never know when you are by yourself and got to hold a standard up. In the midst of all the world, man, the whole church is watching to see if your hands are going to fall and they're going to get smoked. The whole church.
You ain't going to help me out.
Did you ever say it? That's, but that's what Moses said to God. He said, you ain't going to help me out, man. That's what Moses said to God. Lord, help a brother out. Help a brother out. So, God said, it brings us to the third point. They're smoting, see? God brings to the third point that you got to always strengthen your hand. Verse 11 says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But when he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. And so when Moses' hands were tired, they took a stone and put it under him and sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up. It's time for God to send you an Aaron and send you a Hur. Who was Aaron? Aaron was his brother. And so God said, go help your brother. So call your brother. How you doing, Aaron? All I need you to do is whenever you see those elbows cracking, that you do this. Okay? Wow, just right here. Because see, God knew that he had to buttress this man with two solid people who believed. So he called his brother, his blood brother, Aaron. And then he called her, who was not of the same blood, but he represented the extended family. So y'all got to call a her up here. Call somebody else to help you on this side. I don't care who it is. It's up to you. You're in the fight. That side. So I need one on. You got your brother here. We need somebody else. All right. Now this battle is going on, y'all. It's fight. They're fighting hard. They're getting smoted. They're losing, and sometimes because the hands were falling down. But now, coming alongside was Aaron and Hur. And what happened at that moment was Moses, as connected as he was to God, realized that he wasn't alone. And that's what you, Palm Coast, have to realize. That you are not alone. God has raised somebody else to stand up alongside of you, to help you in your weakest moments when there is so much at stake. God has raised up somebody to help you. He has raised somebody to help sustain you. And you know, holding up the standard for God and your family can be tiresome. So we got to raise up warriors who trust God and will stand with you in moments of conflict. Now, here's what I want to tell you. As that happens, that's Old Testament. New Testament. Frank, come on up here. This is the Bible. It weighs about 3 pounds. You don't need the staff anymore. God has given us his word. So raise it up. Two hands. Now, there are moments in time when even holding up this becomes so tiresome, so arduous a task that you feel that I am alone. Oh God, I need some help. So he always sends somebody with your blood and somebody from an extended family to connect. So who do you need to call? I don't care how old they are. I don't care what gender they are. God is raising up warriors to raise up the standard. So who's in your family here?
My father-in-law.
Come on, father-in-law. And we need one other person on the other side.
I don't have anybody else on this side. But
well, you better call somebody. Who?
Mr. Henry Wade.
Henry, come on up. Now, Frank, what I want to illustrate to you right now. All right, nobody smote it lately. What I want to illustrate to you is what you just did is what God has ordained you to do. This thing is tiresome. And I didn't know that I was going to be in the midst of this battle this morning. You didn't know, did you? I didn't tell you. You didn't know. And so I called upon you, and you realized that, maybe this Bible, if I got to hold this standard up that high, man, okay, I know I'm in shape, but I can't do this by myself. So in your moment of agony, you say, oh, God, you got to send me somebody. And God says, you know who to call. And so you call your brother-in-law, and you call the brother, and here they are. And I'm trying to illustrate to you this morning that this is how it works. You cannot hold the standard up by yourself. Why? Because God expects for this to be so much of a task that he will align an Aaron and a Hur with you. Always. So imagine this. Imagine if he got tired. And he got tired. Give me an Aaron and a Hur on their side now. I don't care who might be inspired to come help right now. Just send me two people. Send me two to help them, too. We do need a woman up here. You're right. You got to go back because I need you in a minute. Go on back. I need you in a minute, okay? You hold up, help him hold up the standard. You see, raising the staff is a sign of victory. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to show you this morning? Is that even protecting your family by holding the standard and holding up the word of God is always a lonesome and a tiresome task. But God gives you an Aaron and a Hur, a member of the family and the extended family, to always come to your side so that the standard can always be raised. So Palm Coast this morning, the challenge is on you now. As you go home endeavoring to hold the standard high, you got to pray, oh God, you got to send me one on the left and one on the right to stand with me. Because in my moments of weakness, I need you to buttress me. I need your strength, your confidence, your comfort, that you can send me another warrior to spread the standard. So imagine now, if Reverend Waters gets tired and God sends people on her side, can you see how it spreads? Moses had to fight this battle. And as we prepare to close, I want you to understand these things. Great warriors do fight, but they also have the strength to raise these banners in celebration. Because if we were to continue these two, the scripture for the two verses that we did not mention, 13 and 14. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with his sword. He won on the ground, on the front lines, because he saw the standard. Then he said to Moses, the Lord said this to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua, who's still down there fighting, hears it. Because I am going to completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. So Moses, what he did was he built an altar. And he called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my standard. The Lord is my banner. And so today, as you see this illustration, you got to recognize, oh, great warriors. And I need some help. And I got three people out here in the midst of battle. Noise, clutter, conflict, confusion, pain and agony. When you can't hear anything, you still got to be able to discern the word of God. And you got to find out where your power comes from. Your arms might be cramping from holding up the standard, but your praise has the power. How much so? Will, where are you? Tell him. Your praise has power. So why waste time? Why waste time fighting an enemy you already defeated? No matter how outmanned you might think you are, no matter how tired your arms are, no matter how frustrated you may get, remember this, you have authority. Also, your relationship through your faith in God gives you authority. How much so? Tell him, Alyssa. Now, your declaration, as for me and my house, gives you victory. Your declaration, I declare this. It comes out of my mouth. I am taking a stand and I'm calling it done. Your declaration gives you the victory. And I ask this young brother to help me out, and you better yell it out. And you won't get in trouble. This is the only time you can yell out in church as loud as you can and will not get in trouble. Demetrius, tell them what your declaration of victory says. Stand up and yell it out. Say it again. Turn around and tell them. Amen. Your praise has power. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Thus saith the Lord. Don't be afraid of all these Amalekites. Don't be afraid of how many of those people are lining up against you. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Why? Because he already gave you the promise that no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. The battle has already been fought. And the victory over death, hell, and the grave has already been won on Calvary. Knowing all of this, the question for you, Palm Coast, this morning is, are you strong enough to raise a standard? So let's change the scripture right now. These last two verses say this. So Palm Coast United Methodist Church overcame the world with the word. Then the Lord said to Reverend James and the leadership of this great church, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. Your life is your banner. Your life, your family, your legacy is your banner. Because you say, if it had not been for the Lord, my God, who was on my side, where would I be? So do like they have chosen to do. Raise this banner high. Wave it now from side to side. Let the whole world know that you serve Jehovah Nissi, the one who exists, your banner. The Lord is your victory. Choose the right team. Choose the right place to fight. Strengthen your word, your hand with the word of God and the people of God. And finally, raise your banner high and tell the whole world, the Lord is my banner and my victory. Isn't it hard, y'all?
Yes.
Now, here's what I want you to do. All I need you to do from your seats is just stretch a hand towards these people up here. Oh, God, I recognize the symbolism of this illustration this morning. But in reality, oh, God, this is how it truly is. We have been called each who believe in you to raise a standard. And, oh, God, I know that you have never, ever left us nor forsaken us. You promised that you'd be with us to the end of the world. Oh, God, thank you for these people. Now, as we live in a world of the internet, the web, hashtags, let's talk about what's real. Raise them up, oh God. Send an Aaron and a her to them and to us so that we can proclaim that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord because no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We're going to fight knowing that the victory has already been won. Knowing that the battle is not really ours, but is yours, oh God. And that we will walk in the newness of life. They bask in your love and celebrate the victory that comes through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a big hand, y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you.